Welcome to Torah Smash, the podcast for nerdy Jews, where our lives of Jewish learning collide with our love of nerd culture. In each episode, we discuss what we lovingly call a Torah Smash, which we have defined as a beautiful collision of one thing from the world of Judaism with another from nerd culture. I'm Ethan Lane Miller, and joining me today are
Barak Malkin,
RDY.
Before we get into today's topic, I want to remind all of our listeners to mark your calendars and get ready, because coming this January, we have Torah Smash Live. Jump into the mouth of a star whale and set course to the distant galaxy of Chicago for our very first live show on Saturday, January 13th, 2024 at KAM Isaiah Israel. For more details on this event, go to torahsmash.com/live. Come for the deep dish, but stay to nerd out with us and be a part of Jewish history.
You took some creative liberties there.
That was awesome.
I did, and I had to make sure not to look at you as I was saying it, because I didn't want to bungle the take.
For a hot second, you had the star whales in there as a lead-in for today's episode, I'm assuming, and then you said deep dish, and I was like, what is that? Is that a Pizza the Hut reference? Like, what is the Star Wars? It's Chicago. It's Chicago is the
casserole
deep dish.
Reference.
Yeah.
Deep dish is a casserole.
Deep dish is a form of pizza.
It says it in the title. It's a form of casserole.
RDY, I'd like to remind you that we're trying to invite these people to Chicago.
It's okay.
It's good pizza.
It's great.
It's a good casserole.
Oh my God.
RDY, will you take us out to a pizza/casserole?
Yes, I will.
When we're there?
To Lou Malnati's.
Join Ethan and Barak in Chicago.
Yes. The actual Chicago resident is not joining.
You can come and throw casseroles at RDY.
That's true. That is like true. At KAM Isaiah Israel on Saturday, January 13th. All right. As I very subtly hinted in the introduction, talking about the live show, I am so excited to talk about Ahsoka. For this conversation, I'm really excited because I know that we're all coming to this with different backgrounds, I think. I, about a decade ago, watched The Clone Wars for the first time. Like, the whole thing. What was back then the whole thing?
Did it end 10 years ago?
A little over 10 years ago.
Oh, gosh.
A little over 10 years ago, but it was on Netflix back then.
The Clone Wars is one of my holes.
Yeah, same with me, RDY. I am actually in the process of watching the Clone Wars series. It's my like go-to 30-minute show when I don't have enough time to watch one of my hour shows. So you're in season 3, I think, right now of the Clone Wars.
So that's so exciting, Barak. I definitely binged it. And there's something different about watching it all at once as opposed to having it spread out. But I got it. I was like, oh, okay, I understand why people are so obsessed with this.
Ahsoka has a big part in Clone Wars, right?
Yeah, that's where she's introduced. Yeah.
She's not in the prequels?
No. Mm-hmm. Nope.
And then in October of 2014, the real first Disney Star Wars property came out, which was Star Wars Rebels. And I was hooked. I think Clone Wars is phenomenal, but Rebels to me is where it's at. And so when the series ended in 2018, I have been waiting for this for literal years, for what happens next to these characters who I absolutely fell in love with. And so I'm excited to get to talk to both of you about Ahsoka. And I really have one question to start us off with.
Oh boy.
Who is the most Jewish character in Ahsoka? I have three answers that I want us to explore on this episode, but I'd love to hear what your answers are to the question before I give you my answers.
That's a tough question.
That really is a tough. And there are so many characters in this show. They're like, really, there is an overabundance of characters and plot lines. And like, it feels like it's just one big MacGuffin, but the MacGuffin is a character. But then, like, they get sidetracked and then told to back off.
So I'll give you one of my answers.
I have two. I would say I think that Hu Yang, that he feels like the old, wise Jewish person who has the wisdom of the past, and has so much so that he doesn't have a filter when he needs to talk, sort of like RDY. And he, it means you're so wise, RDY.
Also ancient, but we'll keep going.
And then my other one would be Ezra, because of his sort of diaspora to this new galaxy.
Yes.
And traveling, his group of turtle aliens, I don't know what they're called, that they...
Noti.
Okay. No tea, just coffee. And that they just sort of travel and are nomads forever.
Yeah.
So those are my two initial guesses.
I was going to say Ezra just because of his name, but I also like the Hu Yang with the lightsaber construction when Ezra is building a lightsaber, because Kanan taught him how to build a lightsaber, but Hu Yang taught Kanan how to build a lightsaber. So it's like, I'm using my mother's recipe. Well, your mother got her recipe from me. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have have three names on my list, and Ezra is name number two. So I would love to start there. Barak, I love how you brought in the idea of the diaspora, because that's not one that I had considered. Because when I thought of Ezra, I thought of Ezra as someone who is Jewish and is practicing Jewish, but is creating his own rituals and finding them in his own way. I think about the first battle that they have, where Sabine is almost begging him to take what was once his lightsaber. And he's like, no, I don't need that. And then she's like, isn't this what Jedi use? He's like, no, I don't need that. Jedi doesn't need that. And then proceeds to do things that are undeniably Jedi, but without a lightsaber, without the traditional, shall we say, ritual items that go with being a Jedi.
Yeah. I also think too, like Obi-Wan's description of like lightsabers versus blasters in the original Star Wars movie, and how, you know, the lightsaber is thought of as graceful and elegant, much like the Jedi themselves. And also, and what you said, Ethan, reminds me of a time when an army sergeant was visiting a day school I was teaching at in Miami. And, you know, we get to the point where, are there any questions? And of course, there's always that kid who goes, what's the best weapon you've ever seen? And she looks him straight in the eye and she goes, the best weapon I've ever seen is a skilled soldier. So that idea that it's not the weapon itself, but how it's used and if it's needed.
Well, it was cool when he, you know, refused the lightsaber. And then I've not seen this before. I don't know if it's any of the other properties, Ethan, where Ezra just stopped the lightsaber pretty much with his hands almost.
We've seen a little bit of that in the new Disney canon, where like Kylo Ren can freeze blaster bolts, and I think Vader did it once in Obi-Wan, but it's definitely like new.
Han Solo shot at Vader in Empire and Vader blocked with his hand.
Blocked with his hand, yes, it hit his hand, but like we're talking about like freezing something, like holding it with the force for a second. Yeah,
that's totally Kylo Ren's jam.
Yeah.
So can I, are we done with Ezra?
No, please, 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 please.
Because in a way, I thought that you were going to go with, what's her name? The one who becomes a witch?
Oh, Morgan Elsbeth. Totally not on my radar.
So not as Jewish, because there's no way I could ever second guess what an Ethan question is going to be. But but I was thinking about like sacrifice and self-sacrifice. And of course, the week that we're recording happens to be the week that we're reading the Akedah. So I have that on my mind. And so I'm thinking of Morgan as Isaac and like willing to sacrifice herself for the cause, even though the cause is evil.
Would you explain that for Jason, please?
Sure, Jason. The Akedah is the binding of Isaac, where Abraham takes Isaac up a mountain, ties him up and puts him on an altar and almost kills him. And then God says, no, just kidding. Don't kill your kid. And so Abraham sacrifices a ram instead. And for Susan, in Ahsoka, in the last episode, Grand Admiral Thrawn sends Morgan to stay on the planet, knowing full well this is going to be a sacrifice, so that he can stall for time. Like, it's not even going to make him win anything. It's just a stall tactic.
Yeah, but it's not very like Abraham Isaac, because, not to argue with you on this, Grand Admiral Thrawn is doing this for his own benefit, whereas Abraham was doing it for God. Yeah.
I also have an argument about Abraham really doing it for God. I don't think God wanted Abraham to actually sacrifice Isaac. I think Abraham failed that test. And so when the test is put onto an evil character, it kind of makes sense.
Oh, interesting.
I mean, I don't even think it was a test for Thrawn. He was just like, yeah, here you go. They're all chess pieces for him to move.
Yeah. I just studied this in my master's class with Spertus that I'm doing. And we read the text from that portion. And in reading the actual text, there's no extra phrasing aside from Abraham binded Isaac. Like, there's no mention if Isaac resists or if Isaac goes willingly. It's just like a half sentence of that. And so you had said that Isaac, you know, helps Abraham. I don't know if he does. Like, it doesn't explain his feelings and emotions in that. I'm assuming there's probably some midrash on it, but in
there's
the
a
action.
Ton of midrash on it. And I have my own where I firmly believe Isaac is autistic of some kind. I don't like to say on the spectrum because if it's a spectrum, we're all on it. But Isaac has some sort of different needs. And so, which is part of what made Abraham so willing to sacrifice his son, because in that world, the time period when the Bible was written, people thought of that as less than. And at the same time, the extra text is that when the angel calls to Abraham, the angel has to say the word Abraham twice. And so I read that as, you know, the first time God calls to Abraham, go sacrifice your son. And Abraham goes, okay, and goes up the mountain with him. Then the second time he's got the knife in the air and the angel goes, Abraham. And then it's like, it's not fully successful. He goes, Abraham, cut it out. And that's why you need the doubling of Abraham's name, because he didn't listen the first time.
Hmm. Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, I do have to, I think, agree with Barak that it's a different situation. You know, this is Thrawn being a tactician, not sacrificing someone he cares about or being willing to care about. And even the other Night Sisters are perfectly fine with sacrificing Morgan.
They don't put up a fight, but they do kind of like bow in respect.
It feels like they're doing this for Thrawn. It feels like they sense that Thrawn doesn't really care for Morgan and that the Night Sisters are putting Morgan in this process, knowing that she's not coming with them and putting her towards her death. I'd even
go a step further. And as of this recording, I obviously don't know how this all plays out, but we're not even really fully sure on what is the alliance between Thrawn and the Night Sisters. I suspect it's more of an alliance of convenience, and that perhaps in season two or whatever future property there is, that we learn that maybe their alliance is not on quite the most stable of grounds, shall we say.
Well, because Thrawn loaded stuff up from the temple, from the Night Sisters temple, onto the ship. And so part of me feels like that they have their own allegiance to themselves. I just finished this part of the Clone Wars where, I'm not going to know any of these names. One of the Sith's assassins, she went back to her homeworld of Dathomir. Who am I talking
Ventress.
About? Yes. Ventress went back to her home and they created Savage.
Yes.
As a way to attack again. I see RDY's eyes are wide, so I apologize to probably everybody on this, that they created him for the sake of the Night Sisters, not really for Ventress or to get back to the Sith, but it's going to create power for them and their people. And so that makes me think that this is another one of those situations where the Night Sisters are creating something for them and using Grand Admiral Thrawn as just their conduit of getting back home and transporting these pieces. And there'll be some internal dispute amongst them.
Yeah, I mean, again,
wait, isn't that planet the Night Sisters' home?
So that is where they originate from. But in the Star Wars galaxy that we know, their home world is Dathomir.
Oh, right. She says for Dathomir that like that's
yes,
like
exactly.
Okay.
So
you know planet, that like rewinding like what is she saying?
Yes. So the planet Peridia in the other galaxies, maybe their ancestral home.
Okay.
Yeah. Something else I want to mention about Ezra before we jump over is thinking about who Ezra's teacher is. And the Ahsoka series, in my mind, does the correct amount of lip service to Kanan Jarrus, who, fun fact, I believe is the best Jedi.
Oh, ever.
I believe he is not the most powerful Jedi. He is not the smartest Jedi, but he is the best Jedi and the embodiment of what it means to be a Jedi. Kanan went through Order 66 when he was a Padawan, and so he never finished his training. But he took it upon himself, in spite of not having completed his own training, to train and mentor Ezra, help steer him away from the dark side, also tended to do things his own way. In one of the very first episodes of Rebels, Kanan quotes Yoda and says, "Do or do not, there is no try." And Ezra goes, "What does that mean?" And Kanan pauses and goes, "Actually, never quite figured it out myself." But my favorite thing is Kanan allowed himself to love and is the father of he and Hera's child, Jason.
Oh, yeah, but Anakin allowed himself to love and look where that got him.
Yeah, famously, that did not go well for Anakin. Yeah. But it went well for Kanan. So in my mind, Ezra is a Jew who was taught by another Jew that you can be Jewish and practice in your own way.
And it is still meaningful. Speaking of Jewish names like Ezra, Kanan Jarrus's original name was Caleb.
Yes.
They're definitely Jewish.
Which means faithful too. So that follows along with what you were saying about his character.
Mm-hmm. I love Kanan.
That's fun.
All right, RDY, time to make a guess.
Yeah. So again, like such an overabundance of characters. So I'm going to stick with main characters. And I got to go with Sabine.
That was going to be my next guess.
Yeah. I mean, partly just because I think she's the coolest of the characters, but she's straddling two worlds. She's straddling the world of the Mandalorians with the world of the Jedi. And that's totally like put out on a banner in the last episode when she's fighting with a lightsaber in one hand and a blaster in the other.
Yes.
And, which I just love. And I think that that goes right along with Barak's diaspora analysis, that being Jewish in diaspora means you have to straddle both worlds. And we're finding that straddling, you know, as we record now, Israel is at war and the world has very strong opinions about this war. And we find ourselves straddling the Zionism that is inherent in being Jewish, which does not mean support of the government, with the empathy for human life, with the anti-Semitic rhetoric that goes along with the great deal of sentiment that we're seeing expressed on social media and by people and in some of our works and some of the things that we do. And, you know, all three of us work in Jewish institutions, so it's something that we're hyper conscious of right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Sabine was the first one on my list and was the inspiration for this episode for some of the reasons you exactly brought up. I have written down that she's melding different cultures together into something new and beautiful and unique. And I wonder if Sabine is a Jew by choice.
Ooh, maybe. I would say either, I don't know if it's Jew by choice, if not a mixed marriage situation and trying to decide on their identity of what to do and then realizing that both parts are Sabine's identity, right? I think I lean more on that side.
I'm going to push you a little bit. Her parents are Mandalorian.
Yeah.
Her whole upbringing was Mandalorian. She got a little bit of lightsaber training by Kanan in Rebels, but this whole wanting to be a Jedi thing was something that didn't come from her upbringing.
Is there not something about Jedis, about having midichlorians, or does everybody have midichlorians in them? And so anybody can be a Jedi?
No. I want to talk about this. This is a natural evolution of this, because it's true. We don't even have to go to the prequels, RDY. Obi-Wan.
Is that why you don't want me to talk about the midichlorians?
Of course it is.
We can go there.
In the original trilogy, in the first Star Wars, Obi-Wan describes it as an energy source that surrounds and is a part of all living things. All living things. That means everyone has to have some innate connection to the Force, no matter how small. And so Sabine is this first character who's really taken this idea and run with it. Because it used to be the Jedi would pluck the four sensitive people. The Sith would pluck the four sensitive people who were really angry. But this is the first time that we've really challenged the idea that like having these abilities is not necessarily a gift. You might have a gift and be more sensitive to it, but you put in the hard work, you can do it too.
It's like the idea of being chosen. If we're the chosen people, but so many people choose us to blame and choose us to try and annihilate, like, come on, God, can you choose someone else once in a while? Yes. But I want to also go back, in addition to what you're saying, Ethan, and I want to go back to what Barak said, because I don't think you're pushing. I think it's a combination, because Barak mentioned Jew by choice. And of course, that we don't think that there's necessarily qua Judaism in this world. But in today's world, if you're going to be Jewish at all, you have to choose it. It is too easy to be wooed away from Jewish life. And that doesn't mean going to services. That means putting up a mezuzah and acknowledging Jewish holidays and setting aside time to celebrate and light a Chanukiah or have a Passover Seder dinner. To do this stuff takes us away from the secular that we value so much. And it's a commitment to choose Judaism. So usually Jew by choice refers to someone who's converted into Judaism. But I would say Jew by choice, you know, today should mean anyone who is living a Jewish life as they define it. And the same thing with Sabine. She vacillates a little bit especially in the earlier parts of the season between like, is she going to train with Ahsoka or not? So is she going to embrace this thing of being a Jedi, which is referred to as that old religion in the original series? So, you know, being a Jedi is very similar to being Jewish, where yes, there's an element of being born into it if you want to go the midichlorian route, but there's also an element of choosing it and actively engaging with it, which is what Sabine struggles with.
Okay. I hear that.
How does it feel to have that real long discussion? Just get a, okay, yeah.
Well, I was supporting him, so it's okay.
No, I buy it. I mean, I definitely, for me, I see Sabine kind of being representative of someone who converted to Judaism, who struggles with it, but in some ways also takes it more seriously than perhaps Jews who were born into it.
Yeah.
I had a wonderful youth group kid once whose, I think, father was Jewish, but mother wasn't Jewish. And so in Jewish law is not Jewish. And well, am I backwards? No, it's
because the Reform movement, in Reform law, we have altered the definition that either parent
lost
a Jewish upbringing.
This youth group kid was really studying the old text and wanted to be considered wholly Jewish by all different aspects. And so they ended up going through a conversion process, like training and stuff, even though they had been raised Jewish and all that stuff. And so, and maybe that's what this feels like to me, of this choice of accepting this piece that is already a part of them and wanting to explore it even more.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Any other comments on Sabine before we go to our third and final character?
I really liked Sabine as a character.
Yeah.
Except for the whole, like, she can get cut by a lightsaber through her midsection and survive, but other people can't. That's fine.
It's a little stabby stab.
Yeah, but there was somebody else who, I've seen so many other people on the Clone Wars shows get stabbed through the midsection and not make it.
It's the difference of what some quality medical attention can do.
Okay.
And where it hits, it just, right, you know, through and missed all the important bits.
Just the spleen, just the appendix.
Yeah, you don't need the appendix.
Yeah.
She got it out years ago. All right, one more character. Do you want to guess or do we want to jump into it?
No, I have a guess.
Please.
I am going to say that this conversation would not be a good conversation if the final guess was not Ahsoka Tano.
And you would be correct, Barak.
Yeah. Good.
A
Jewish Jedi.
But not just a Jewish Jedi.
Oh, no, she's not. She is no Jedi, right? Isn't that her quote? I am no Jedi.
Yes. I think Ahsoka is a Jewish educator.
Oh, bring it.
I think Ahsoka embodies the idea of learning from her students and meeting their needs and changing her style to match what they need.
Hmm.
Yeah, I think we're done. Good job.
All right, that'll do it for this episode of Taurus Smash.
That's spot on. I love it.
I mean, she and Thrawn points this out, and we also get to literally see it in delightful flashbacks. She did not have the most, shall we say, traditional teacher herself.
Yeah.
She had a teacher who recognized the moment that they were in and taught her what she needed in that moment. And this is one of the critiques of the Jedi that I think Ahsoka really helped to tease out a bit. And some of the expanded media has explored this a little bit, but Ahsoka kind of very directly said that one of the downfalls of the Jedi was not recognizing the moment they were in. And they kept training people for a peaceful future without realizing they needed to train people to win the war that they were in. Anakin, no surprise, trained her to win the war.
Yeah. But that also, I mean, it definitely lost her the battle because Thrawn used his knowledge of her master against her. Used the strategy he would assume Anakin would use and foil her own plans.
Were her plans foiled, though?
They didn't make it back.
Thrawn made it back.
Thrawn made it back.
The whole point of the series was don't let Thrawn come back.
So Thrawn came back, but so did Ezra.
Yeah.
But that was Sabine's goal. That wasn't Ahsoka's goal.
Right.
Was her goal to get Ezra back or to reunite with Ezra?
If it was to reunite with Ezra, then she did it and then he left again.
Is this question after question, Ethan?
Sorry, I'll stop being a Jewish educator.
I do love this idea of the educator of Ahsoka RJE. Is that
episode title?
Without spoiling it. Yeah. Is that the whole concept of this was who taught her and how is she teaching the next person, which we've seen in other iterations of Star Wars, but this one really comes through a lot, probably because of the series structure, is her constant struggle. And it was not really her struggle of Sabine not getting it. It's her struggle of teaching Sabine what Sabine needs to know and how can I make Sabine understand, right? Anakin always used to say she's not listening. Well, look at her master, like her master doesn't listen. Right. He didn't really get that point when people would say it to him. I think Ahsoka really takes an inward look when she realizes something is wrong. And my wife and I have a similar mindset. When our kids are struggling or we're struggling with our kids, it's a lot less of why are they like this? Why are they doing this? Why won't they listen? And the question we always ask ourselves when that struggle is happening, we step back and we say, what are we doing wrong? Because they're still so young, 3 and 5 right now at the time of this recording. And it's not on them at this point. They're still learning, just like with Ahsoka is with Sabine. Sabine is still learning and Ahsoka was still learning, but Anakin was constantly just like a protective papa bear mostly. Without really thinking about it, it was just protection and not growth. Whereas Ahsoka's focus is growth. How can I help Sabine? And so now I want to go rewatch this whole series now with this mindset of reformed Jewish educator with it. This is great.
I also want to say that I think there is a distinct difference in the reformed Jewish educator of my generation than in both of your generations, because most of the rabbis my age or the Jewish professionals my age have some sort of wanting to make Jewish education better. Because when we grew up, it was, you know, why do we have to do this so the Holocaust doesn't happen again? Now here, go read your Hebrew. And the real like engagement and love of it for me came much later than any involvement with a Jewish educator that I encountered. Whereas I feel like today's Jewish educators and even the Jewish educators 10 and 15 years ago were much more engaging, perhaps in reaction to that old time religion, the old way of doing things. And I think in that way, Ahsoka, even to a certain extent, Anakin, and definitely Sabine and Ezra kind of represent that taking it on our own way, because this is meaningful to us and we need to inform the future generations in a way that is meaningful to them, not in a way that was meaningful to our teachers.
That's beautiful. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, I totally agree. This is a great poll. I love that twist of who's Jewish and like, psych, who's a Jewish educator?
Yeah. I think as we start to wrap this up, you know, I think viewed through this lens, many of us can very easily remember the students we had who were the Sabine Wrens.
Yeah.
Great. Any closing thoughts from my co-hosts?
I have a closing thought.
Yeah.
In the world of education, definitely Jewish education, but I do believe this is bigger than just Judaism. There's a lot of talk about diversity, equity, and inclusion. And I think they have those in the wrong order. Because if we have it as equity, diversity, and inclusion, then if we did Jewish equity, diversity, and inclusion, we'd all be in Jedi training.
Oh, that's nice. I like that. Oh, that might be a shirt.
Don't tell Disney.
I have a closing question. I don't know if we've got the time for this one. On the last episode, RDY just threw out under the buzzer how Yoda was Jewish. And you were like, nope. And so I wanted to just hear your thoughts while we're on the Star Wars themed episode. Either one of you, if you want to argue for or against in the on one foot.
Well, we know he's not canonically Jewish, which is why it got the no.
Yeah.
But in the sense of how we're defining Jewish characters in Ahsoka, what do you think now?
I mean, yeah.
Well, okay. I
mean, he's not a Jew in space, but the allegory is there.
Yeah.
Very fun.
RDY, isn't there like some Hebrew roots in the name Yoda?
Yeah. Yodea means he knows.
Yeah.
So, you know, knowledge, the and being the root of Yoda's name.
That's fun.
Yeah.
Do we have any theories for Ahsoka season 2 aside from the ones we may have already mentioned?
More characters.
You'll probably want to go first before I do.
Well, I think, I don't know any of the names. The tall knight Jedi Sith Balin. Guy. Balin.
Not a Sith.
He's not a Sith, but he's working for them.
No, he's not.
He's now working for Thrawn?
Thrawn is not a Sith.
Oh, okay. The bad guy.
Is Thrawn even Force attuned?
No.
I see. My bad. I was just generalizing the whole evil side is Sith. I apologize.
There is so much rich stuff you can dive into when we realize that Balin is not a Sith and Ahsoka is not a Jedi.
Oh, that's fun. Do we have time?
For another episode.
Oh, okay. I don't know what he's doing, but he's got his own agenda on this planet for some reason.
Okay.
So I'm going to find some.
It says in one of the episodes, I forget which one, that there's some kind of power on this planet, which is part of the thing that draws him there. And I assumed it was the witches until he's on that mountain at the end of the last episode, where it's clearly not. I mean, it doesn't look like the witches. It looks like some kind of like pair of gods. And one of them looks a little bit like Balin.
Okay, here we go.
Wait, is it? They're on Peridia or something, right?
Peridia. Okay.
Peridia.
So in the Clone Wars, a little bit in Rebels, we see the idea of the father, the daughter, and the son.
I just got to these episodes on Mortis. Yeah.
Yes, the Mortis gods. Now, what's not seen there is the mother. The thought is that Ahsoka might be about to bring in the mother, Abeloth, who is from the Star Wars Legends expanded universe, who in short is bad news. So that could be the ultimate power that Balin is aiming for. Thrawn, on the other side of things, you know, we have the line of heir to the Empire, which is a very loaded phrase. He is potentially off to try and attempt to resurrect the Empire.
Yeah. Cool.
And as far as what else happens, I think we all agree that we need Zeb and Kallus in season 2.
RDY made a face. I believe that they are characters from Rebels. And one of them, Zeb, made an appearance in Boba Fett, I think it was.
Mandalorian.
Oh, in The Mandalorian, yeah. He's like a giant cat purple creature.
Is Rebels the one where it's a band of clones and they're all like slightly different clones?
No, that's the Bad Batch. That's the Bad Batch.
Oh, okay. I haven't seen Rebels then.
No. It's delightful. I really recommend it.
Clone Wars is great. I'm excited to, like, I'm so mad at my completionist side that when all the Star Wars shows are coming out, now I'm going back and I have to watch the Clone Wars, and then I need to watch Rebels and Bad Batch, and I don't have enough time. It's going to take me way longer than I want to get through these.
Yeah,
what's
look, I
more difficult for me is I need time that specifically my wife is not around and wanting to watch TV with me, because she has no desire to see any of these.
Yeah, same.
Again, Clone Wars is great, but my love is Rebels.
Wow, okay. I might need to put that on my list.
I loved Ahsoka as a Star Wars fan. I loved Ahsoka as someone looking at it with a Jewish lens. I am so excited and cannot wait for whatever the next phase of this adventure is, season 2 or a crossover or a movie. Whatever it is, I'm ready for it and so excited.
Can I also add that as part of her Reformed Jewish educator training, Ahsoka knows that it doesn't always happen in a traditional classroom, right? Because she learned outside of a classroom, but hers was always sort of like a war field. But Ahsoka really takes the place that they're in and uses those moments as teaching opportunities, as opposed to waiting for, let's sit down and get back to the ship and I'll run a lesson for you and you'll learn that way.
It was very good, Barak.
Yeah.
I also want to shout out Rosario Dawson, who not only was a phenomenal Ahsoka, but I've been a Rosario Dawson fan since Men in Black 2.
Men in Black, was she the one who controlled?
You don't cry because the rain makes you sad. It rains because...
Oh, that was her. Wow.
Was that her first role?
No, she was in Kids. Did you see Kids? It's a horrifying movie, but she's in Kids. She's in Josie and the Pussycats.
I loved Rosario Dawson in Josie and the Pussycats. I think that would probably be... Like, Men in Black 2 was good. That is my... It's one of my guilty pleasure movies. It's so good. I listen to the soundtrack all the time in my house. And so I think I'm going to have to put that up there as one of my favorites.
Yeah, she took this role so seriously and even like took Ahsoka's mannerisms from the animated show. Like, just real, really good casting.
Also, another nerd crossover is Mary Elizabeth Winstead, who's Hera. She was the girlfriend in Scott Pilgrim.
Yep. Yeah, we didn't even talk about Hera. Also, just such a great character.
Yeah.
Well, that was so fun. And I guess that'll do it for this episode of Torah Smash. Our fiscal sponsor is Jewish Creativity International. Our theme music was created by Sean Fogel. You can check out Sean's bands and studio work at www.thesleepywest.com. If you enjoyed today's episode, be sure to rate and review us wherever you listen. It helps others find us and is an excellent way to support the podcast. We want to hear from you and continue today's nerdy discussion. Go to torahsmash.com to find where to connect with us online, purchase swag from our store, support us with a donation, find previous episodes, and more. And I know we all look forward to the next Star Wars series when Ahsoka crosses paths with the Jewish grandmother bounty hunter in The Book of Bubby Fett. How much editing did you want me to do for this episode?
I'm hoping to make this as hard on you as possible. Towards the end, General Thrall says...
Thrawn.
Thank you. General Thrawn tells Morgan...
Admiral.
In Ahsoka, Admiral Thrawn tells Morgan...
Grand Admiral.
Oh, are you...
Yeah, this is too long for post-credits. I don't know what to do now.
Okay, great. Okay, fact check complete.